सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। कृष्णे यजुर्वेदीये कठोपनिषदि प्रथमोऽध्याये द्वितीयावल्ली। In this second section of the first chapter of Kathopanishad, we completed 11 mantras and you see the 12th mantra. Lord Yama has yet to begin his teaching. He is still discussing the glorification of the knowledge only. But anyway, he's going to start soon. So, actually he glorifies the amazing end accomplishable as a result of attaining the self-knowledge. And he glorifies the very self itself. By glorifying the self, attainment of knowledge of that self is also great effort is glorified. And the benefit of such knowledge also is glorified. So, Atma Prashamsa, Atma Jnana Prashamsa, Atma Jnana Phala Prashamsa. All three become glorified here. The Atma is glorified, Atma Jnanam is glorified, the benefit of Atma Jnanam also is highlighted here. In this 12th mantra. So, we are going to see, in the previous mantras, we have seen how Nachiketas was very firm, very clear in rejecting everything as offered by Lord Yama and asking for only self-knowledge. So, Lord Yama himself praised Nachiketas, stating that a teacher like him should get more students of his caliber, students like Nachiketas. Now, in this 12th mantra, we're going to see here, actually Lord Yama says how subtle is the reality. Thereby, this knowledge of the reality is very difficult one. And why this attainment of knowledge is difficult? Because this reality implied by the term Atma, of course, is the subtlest, of course, is all pervasive. But it is not an object. Therefore, it is not at all accessible through any of the means of knowledge. And it is available for recognition only as the self, only as the truth of the knower. Therefore, it's available for recognition only in the mind. Because of its availability for recognition only in the mind, it is very difficult to attain this knowledge. It involves very focused study. Only then this Atma can be arrived at. This made very clear in this 12th mantra. Yam tvam jnatum icchasi atmanam. Before we begin the mantra, one sentence which comes as part of the Shankara Bhagavad-Pada's commentary. Yam tvam jnatum icchasi atmanam. That Atma which you want to know, jnatvam jnatum icchasi, you want to know what Atmanam, the self, that Atma which you want to know, yam Atmanam tvam jnatum icchasi, that Atma is of this nature. That Lord Yama is going to say in this 12th mantra. Okay. Tam durdarsham, tam durdarsham godhamanu pravishtham. Tan durdarsham godhamanu pravishtham. Tan durdarsham godhamanu pravishtham. Tan durdarsham godhamanu pravishtham. Guhahitam gahvareshtam puranam. Guhahitam gahvareshtam puranam. Adhyatmayoga dhigamena devam. Adhyatmayoga dhigamena devam. Matva dhiro harshashoko jahati. Tandurdarshan godhamanu pravishtam. Guhahitam gahvareshtam puranam. Adhyatmayoga dhigamena devam. Matva dhiro harshashoko jahati. So the last line he says, last line means dhiraha jahati. Jahati means, it's a verb. Jahati literally means gives up. So, but here gives up actually means a person becomes free from. Giving up here implies becoming free from. Jahati, a person gives up. Just, you know, he will not hold on to anymore. What is that which he becomes free from? What is that which he will not hold on to anymore? What is which he gives up? Harsha shokau. Harshaha cha shokaha cha. Harsha shokau. Harshaha pleasure. Shokaha pain. Harshaha joy. Shokaha grief. A person gives up joy and sorrow, pleasure and pain. With harshaha and shokaha, both are masculine gender words only. Harshaha, shokaha. Pleasure and pain. Joy and grief, the sorrow. Who gives up? Kaha jahati. Dhiraha jahati. So, the word dhiraha is repeatedly used in the Upanishad mantras, meaning a wise person. Dhiraha harshashokau jahati. A wise person, actually the word dhiraha literally means a courageous person, brave person, strong person is dhiraha. So brave is the strong, courageous is the strong. So who is really a brave person in the vision of the Shastram, in the books of the Upanishad? Who is the brave person? Brave person, the bravery of a person is not appreciated from the standpoint of the physical stamina alone, from the standpoint of the physical looks alone. Okay, the bravery of the person is considered from the standpoint of his emotional strength. So this person is the strongest person, bravest person, most courageous person, because the wise person is the one whose mind is protected from the fear of the phenomenon called fear for good. The mind in which there's no fear at all. The phenomenon called fear is resolved for good. That person alone is said to be dhiraha. If the phenomenon called fear must have been resolved in the mind, means that person must have become free from the fear of death. The person can become free from the fear of death only if he understands that, only when he resolves this problem of sense of mortality centered on I. Nevertheless, he must have resolved his erroneous notion that he is a mortal. I am a mortal. That notion one must have resolved. A real brave person, the real Dhiraha, is a wise person who has resolved the erroneous notion that I am a mortal. Which means he must have understood immortality being one's own essential nature. Therefore, the person who has discovered one's own essential nature, one's own self being consciousness, thereby the one who has understood the immortality, deathlessness, indestructibility being one's own essential nature, thereby the one who he must have resolved his erroneous notion that I am a mortal. The person has resolved the erroneous notion I am a mortal alone can be the one who is free from the fear of death, thereby the one who is free from the very phenomenon called fear for good. The person of utter fearlessness, okay, is Dhiraha. So wise person is the bravest person, brave person. Because in wisdom alone, the fear can be resolved for good. The fear is resolved means all other emotions, impurity also will be resolved for good simultaneously. Therefore, Dhiraha is a beautiful word implying a real wise person, Atmajnani. So, Dhiraha Harshashokav Jahati. The person of wisdom frees himself from pain and pleasure, that frees himself from all forms of pairs of opposites. He gives up the pairs of opposites, he gives up pain and pleasure because he will not hold on to them anymore as my pain, my pleasure, because his perspective has changed. He does not have identity with the mind anymore. He does not take the problems of mind, impurities of the mind as his impurities. Therefore, he does not hold on to them. He gives them up, means cognitively. He sees himself being free from all of them. Okay, there is no greater achievement than this. Seeing oneself being free from the hold of all these pairs of opposites, such as pain, pleasure, etc. Dhiraha harshashoko jahanti. How does a person become a dhiraha? If he becomes a dhiraha, this is the benefit of the jnana. If he becomes wise, then in the wake of knowledge, he attains this freedom from all forms of limitations, from all forms of pairs of opposites. How? Devam matva. Devam matva. See, matva here means literally, the word matva means having thought. But here having matva means having jnatva, having understood, having recognized, having known. Having known whom? What? Devam. Here the word devaha actually is a word implying the very reality, abstract formless reality. Even though the word devaha is simply used to mean devata, deity, the Lord, but still the word devaha actually is a word implying the reality in terms of its nature of effulgence, in terms of its nature of knowing. Divyati iti devaha. Divyati means that which shines, that which is effulgent, is deva. It's in devaha. So devam matva means having discovered, having arrived at, having known the abstract reality which is of the nature of self-effulgence. So having understood the reality implied by the term Atma, this wise person becomes free from the hold of all pairs of opposites. As he meant here, he becomes free from pain and pleasure. He gives up both pain and pleasure. So, how does he understand? Adhyatma yoga adhigamena. Adhyatma yoga adhigamena. See, adhyatma yoga. See, adhyatma yoga means the knowledge of the self. Adhyatma yoga means, knowledge. Adhyatma means the self. Adhyatma yoga means knowledge of the self. Adhigamanam means adhigachati, means goes, takes to, resorts to. So, adhyatma yoga adhigamena, being given to the pursuit of the self-knowledge, or resorting to the self-knowledge, this person discovers the self. Discovering the self, he becomes free from the hold of all pairs of opposites, the pain and pleasure, etc. Here, he gives up pain and pleasure. This is the literal meaning. But here, the rest of the words describe the reality implied by the term Atma, and here meant by the word Devaha. So, Kidrasham Devam Matva. Only if a person is given to the pursuit of self-knowledge, only if he resorts to the pursuit of, resorts to the self-knowledge, he can attain self-knowledge. Therefore, but he discovers the self. And Kidrisham Devam, he arrives at the reality as one's own self. But Kidrisham, which sort of Deva? It is said here, the rest of the words, Tam, Durdarsham, Gudham, Anupravishtam, Guhahitam, Gahvareshtam, Puranam, Devam, Matva, Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamena, Tam, Durdarsham, Gudham Anupravishtam Guhahitam Gahvareshtam Puranam Devam Matva Dhiraha Bhavati Saha Dhiraha Harshashoko Jahati. So first, all these words describe Atma. What is Atma? Formless, abstract, all-pervasive reality implied by the term Atma, which is available for recognition in one's own mind. This Atma. And this person discovers that Atma. This discovers that reality. So, all these words describe Atma. Describe Atma means all these words describe the word Devaha. Durdarshaha. Durdarshaha. See, difficult to see. What does it mean? Difficult to see, literal meaning. Difficult to comprehend. Difficult to understand. Durdarshaha Atma. Atma which cannot be comprehended easily. Which is not easily comprehensible. It is not easily comprehensible means what? People can conclude as it is incomprehensible. No, difficult to comprehend. Durdarshaha. Then we say Gudaha. We'll see each and every word in the Bhashyam. Gudaha. Gudaha means hidden. Now Guhyam, secret. Guhati. Guhati means hides. Guhya, hidden secret. Also Gudha, also what now? Seek, hidden, participle. This, even though Atma is absolutely, Atma is something which cannot be covered by anything. Atma is actually something which cannot be covered at all by anything. It's uncoverable, non-coverable is the Atma. Why it is uncoverable? Because it is all pervasive. What is it which can be covered? Anything which is spatially limited alone can be covered. Something which cannot be covered at all. That's why it's called a Nirvanam Brahma. So sometimes we say the reality is meant by the word Nirvanam, which means naked. Naked means what? That which is which cannot be covered. Why Atma cannot be covered? Because it is not spatially limited.
Yeah.
Because it is all pervasive. But still, this Atma which cannot be covered by anything now is as though covered, as though hidden. Gudaha. Why it is hidden? Where is it hidden? If it is an object, it can be easily understood. Atma is not at all an object. The reality is not an object of knowledge. Therefore, it is not available for knowledge through any of the means of knowledge, instruments of knowledge. It's available for recognition only as the very essential nature of the one who is searching for the Atma. As the very knower. See, we're all searchers. We're all seekers. We're searching for the Atma. So we want to understand the rupa of the Atma. As long as we're searching for the Atma as an object in the world, through all experiments and probing into this world, Atma will remain hidden, 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 hidden. It will not be arrived at all. Why? Because it is not an object. And it is as though hidden. It is really, it hides itself where? As the very swarupam of the one who is searching for the Atma. It is available for recognition only as a swarupam of the knower. Therefore, it is hidden. Gudaha. Hidden, we are going to see that here. Anupravishtaha. Anupravishtaha means the Atma, all pervasive Atma, is as though it has entered into the mind. Anupravishtaha. As though it has entered into the mind. As Atma is available for recognition in the mind, it is said to be what? Anupravishtaha. It is like saying, Akashaha ghate anupravishtaha. The space has entered into the space, entered into the pot. Does space enter into the pot? No. Space cannot enter into the pot, but space is as though. Space looks as though it has entered into the pot because it is enclosed by the pot. It's available within the pot also. Similarly, Atma being available for recognition in the mind, it is said to have entered into the mind. Anupravishtaha. Because Atma is manifested in the mind, that will be Anupravishtaha. The Anupravishtaha is very beautifully explained in Taittiriya Upanishad also. That's called Anupravesha Shrutihi. We'll be seeing it anyway. So Anupravishtaha, Anupravishati enters. So here Anupravishtam, Atma has entered into the mind. And here Anupravishtaha, Guhahitaha. So Atma has entered into the mind means entered into the cave of mind. So, guha means cave. Mind is always likened to a cave. Here, guha literally means cave. But here, guha is not real guha. It's a cave of mind. Manaha eva guha. That is why Bhagavan Subramanya Swami, one of the names of Bhagavan is what? Guhaha, Guhan. Why Guhaha? He is available for recognition in the cave of mind. Why he is called Guhaha? Anyway, so Guha here is cave of mind. Ahitaha, Guhayam Ahitaha, Guhahitaha. Atma being available for recognition, it looks as though Atma has entered into the mind. Atma is as though hidden in the cave of mind. Atma is as though placed in the cave of mind. Atma cannot be located in a given place. But still, Atma is as though placed. Ahita means placed. Placed in the cave of mind. Guhahitaha. Then Gahvareshtaha. See, Gahvara. Gahvareshtaha means Gahvara has so many meanings. Gahvara means thick. Gahvara means deep. Gahvara means jungle. Gahvara means thick woods. No, the jungle with the close. The thick woods. So, jungle, vanam. So, Gahvara has so many meanings. But here, Gahvara, here, Gahvare tishtati iti Gahvarastaha. Gahvarastha is what now? Gahvara. Gahvara. Gahvare staha Gahvareshtaha. Gahvare staha Gahvareshtaha. Where is Atma? Atma, all-pervasive Atma, available for recognition in the mind. That be what happened, what is in the mind? Mind, which is a place of so many emotions. Therefore, emotions, pain, pleasure, parts of likes and dislikes, everything. Therefore, Gahvare staha means Gahvareshtaha. Atma, which remains. Atma available for recognition in the mind, okay, amidst various emotions, countless number of thoughts, that with all these countless number of thoughts which arise and, you know, which come and go, they're all like a thick jungle, okay, deep. And then here, Atma is there amidst the countless number of emotions and thoughts. For Gahvare staha Gahvareshtaha is one meaning. And another meaning is, see, the Gahvaram, Gahvareshtaha, when you say, deep Atma is available for recognition in the dead end of the mind. Dead end of the mind. Therefore, it is said to be what now? The bottommost. Gahvare staha gahvareshtaha means Atma is available for recognition at the lowest depth. Lowest depth means what? At the dead end of the mind. At the bottom of the mind. So what is the bottom of the mind? But the mind has bottom and or what? Bottom of the mind, the depth, lowest depth of the mind means Atma is available for recognition only in the dead end of the mind. What is it which is there, the dead end of the mind? I sense. Aham vrittihi, I cognition. I cognition is the first and the foremost of any thought, all the thoughts which rise in the mind. Of course, in the mind, countless number of thoughts arise. But what is that thought which arises first and the foremost of the thoughts? Without the rising of which no other thought can rise, no other thought can exist. That is, I thought, I cognition. Therefore, Atma being available for recognition only as the Swarupam of the I, the subject of knowledge, the knower, Atma is said to be at the dead end of the mind. It's also, therefore, it's said to be what? Gahvareshtaha. The guha also means the same. And as countless number of thoughts are there, countless of emotions are thoughts are there, and also emotions are there, and Atma is there, available for recognition amidst that various thoughts. Gahvareshtaha and Puranaha. Pura means the most ancient. Why? Because it is beginningless. So the word Pura means the beginninglessness. Na nam implies the endlessness, ever fresh. Puranaha. Beginningless, at the same time, endless, ever fresh. Chit Puranaha. Now, Durdarshaha, Gudaha, Anupravishtaha, Guhahitaha, Gahvareshtaha, Puranaha. All these words were adjectives describing the Atma, Devaha. Durdarshaha, Gudaha, Anupravishtaha, Guhahitaha, Gahvareshtaha, Puranaha, Devaha. Seven words. Matva, having understood the all-pervasive reality obtaining as one's own self, which is of this nature, but being given to the pursuit of knowledge, a person becomes free from patterns of opposites. A person gives up pain and pleasure. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. So, tam durdarsham gudham anupravishtam guhahitam gahvareshtam puranam devam adhyatma yoga adhigamena matva dhiraha harshashokau jahati. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. Okay. So, what does Lord Yama say here? Okay, we're going to see here in the Bhashyam now. Tam durdarsham. Tam here means, you know, is relative pronoun, objective case of saha. Tat shabdasya dvitiyai bhakto tamiti rupam. Tam, that. Wait, Atma is a masculine gender word. Devaha is a masculine gender word. Therefore, tam devam. Tam atmanam. Durdarsham. So Lord Yama says, hey Nachiketaha, that Atma which you want to know, yam tum atmanam jnatum icchasi, okay, tam jnatva, having understood that Atma, a person becomes brave, person becomes wise. It is that knowledge makes a person wise, and he becomes free from pain and pleasure. He gives up pain and pleasure. Okay? So here, durdarsham. Durdarsham means what? Dukkhena darshanam. Darshanam means seeing. Seeing here means comprehending. Darshanam is a verbal noun. We all know very well. Darshanam, seeing, gerund, seeing. Seeing means knowing, Knowing means comprehending. Dukkhena means with pain. Dukkhena darshanam means what? Seeing with pain, seeing with difficulty, seeing with strain is durdarsham. Asya iti. Dukkhena darshanam asya iti durdarshaha. Seeing of this Atma, comprehending of this Atma is only with difficulty. Without difficulty, it cannot be understood. It cannot be easily understood. Therefore, what? Durdarshaha. Dukkhena darshanam asya atmanaha. Iti durdarshaha. And the next question comes. Why it is difficult to comprehend? Why it cannot be comprehended easily? Kimartam dukkhena darshanam asya? Kimartam sukhena darshanam asya nasti? Why the comprehension of it is not easy? Why it is comprehension of it is very difficult? Because ati sukshmatvat. The karanam is given. Hetu is given. The reason is why it cannot be easily comprehended. So I should not say it cannot be comprehended at all. Of course, it has to be comprehended by us. The whole effort is to comprehend it. So I should not say it cannot be comprehended at all. It can be comprehended, but it involves great effort and difficulty. It cannot be easily comprehended. Therefore, why? Because ati sukshmatvat. Whenever, if you please learn, understand hereafter, you are in the kindergarten level of Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. Now the Panchami Bhakti is used. Ati sukshmatvat. See, sukshmam, sukshma means subtle. Sukshmatvam means what? Being subtle. Sukshma means subtle. Sukshmatvam means being subtle. Sukshmatvat means due to the status of being subtle. Sukshma, because of his subtleness. Sukshmatvam means subtleness. Okay, not simple. Ati sukshmatvat. Due to its extreme subtleness. Ati sukshmatvat, due to its extreme subtleness. Okay, now the Panchami Bhakti is ati sukshmatvam, ati sukshmatvam, ati sukshmatvena, ati sukshmatvaya, ati sukshmatvat. It's a declinable word here because it's a noun, subtleness. So ati sukshmatvat, due to, because of its subtle, extreme subtleness. Ati, extreme subtleness. The comprehension of it is not easy. Comprehension of it is difficult. Therefore, what? It is said to be durdarshaha. Now, the Panchami Bhakti comes with the hetu. Whenever the reason is present, mentioned. Hetvarthe panchami. Hetu means cause. What is the reason for this? For the comprehension of the Atma being subtle. What is the reason? What reason for the difficulty in comprehending Atma? Then the reason is given. It must be given. The word must be used in the fifth case. Hetvarthe panchami. Ati sukshmatvat. Why? The question comes, why? What's the reason? When you ask, the answer must be in the fifth case. Hetvarthe panchami. The sense of the cause. Fifth case is used. Ati sukshmatvat. Due to its subtleness. Not simple subtleness. Extreme subtleness. Ati sukshmatvat. Because of its extreme subtleness, that comprehension of it, this Atma, is difficult. Is it with durdarshaha? Okay, how subtle it is? What is subtle? Anything and everything which can be objectified is what gross. Even anything which can be object perceived through sense organs is gross. Anything which can be perceived through mind is what? Subtle. Only mind. So here, gross and subtle. That which cannot be objectified at all is what? The subtlest heat. So, ati sukshmatvat, see, certain things available for indriya, certain things are indriya gocharani. It is available for sense perception. You say gross. But certain things are not available for sense perception, but they are available for thought conception. They are subtle. But here, Atma is it's not available for sense perception, not available for thought conception. Therefore, what it is extremely subtle. Therefore, comprehension of it is difficult. Dukkhena darshanam asya iti durdarshaha ati sukshmatvat. The reason is given. Ati sukshmatvat asya darshanam dukkhena. Next, Goodham. Please make note, Goodham is an objective case form of the word Goodha. So, Goodha, Atma is Goodha. Goodham is objective case form. So, Goodham means what? Hidden. It doesn't say much there. Okay, now, Gahanam. Gahanam means what? Very deep. Gahanam. Goodham means what? Gahanam. Very deep. Anupravishtam. Next word is what? Anupravishtam. Shankaracharya, right? Anupravishtaha, as I already explained, it has entered as though Atma is that which has as though entered into the mind. Shankaracharya says, Prakrita Vishaya Vikara Vijnanaihi Prachannam. So, Gudham, Gahanam, Gudham means Gahanam, Anupravishtam means what? Prakrita Vishaya Vikara Vijnanaihi Prachannam. So, channa means covered. No, the chad dhatu, see, chadayati covers. Now, achadayati, prachadayati, we have these words. Now, channa means covered. Prachanna means no, prakarshena channam. Prachannam also means covered. What is prachannam? Prachanna, Atma is prachannaha. Gudaha, gahanaha. Anupravishtaha means Atma is prachannaha. Atma is covered. As though covered. Not really covered. As though covered. Covered by what? Vijnanehi prachannam. Atma is that which is covered by Vijnanehi. Vijnanehi means cognitions. The Vijnanam is one cognition. Vijnanehi, many cognitions. Any cognition is what? Cognition pertaining to the world objects. So, cognitions of objects which constitute the external world. So, vijnanaihi prachannaha. Atma is covered by cognitions, as though covered by the cognitions. The cognitions of what? Vikaraha. So, vikaraha here means objects. See, anything which is subject to change is what? Defecates object only. Every object is said to be a vikaraha. Okay, vikaraha means, an object which is subject, anything subject to change is meant by the word vikaraha. Vikaraha means change. Vikaraha is just a noun. Vikaraha, vikaranam means change, modification. When object subject to modification, constantly undergoing changes, is also said to be what? Vikaraha. It is now vikaraha does not mean modification here. It means the objects, the sense objects, which are of the nature of undergoing changes, are meant by the word vikaraha. So vikaranam vijnanam, vikara vijnanam, vikaranam vijnanani, vikara vijnanani, vikara vijnanehi prachannaha. Atma is as though covered by countless number of cognitions of countless number of modifying objects of perception, sense objects. Okay. Again, Vishaya vikaraha. So Vishaya vikaraha, Vishaya also means object. The Vishaya vikaraha means the constantly, the objects which are of the nature of constantly undergoing changes, modifications. And Vishaya also means object available for sense perception. See, Vishaya vikaranam vijnanehi prachannaha atma. And which Vishaya here, which not Prakrita. Prakrita means material. So material modifying external sense objects. Or what now? Prakrita Vishaya vijnara. Prakrita Vishaya Vikaraha and Vikaranam Prajnanani. So, countless number of cognitions arise and resolve. The cognitions of constantly changing external material sense objects. You can simply say cognitions pertaining to the world of objects. Atma is as though covered by the countless number of cognitions which rise and resolve, which are pertaining to the world of objects. So, Prakrita Vishaya Vikara Vijnanehi Prachannaha. Prachannam is the objective case. See, why it is prachannam? Atma cannot be covered at all. We know very well. But still it is as though covered completely because attention of the mind, attention of the mind is completely grabbed by the external objects which are constantly pumped to the mind by the sense organs. The sense organs are involved in the perception of the external world of objects. And the sense organs continuously report to the mind the objects. Therefore, what happens? So the cognitions of the perceived objects, material objects, keep on rising and resolving. Attention is where attention is totally held by the cognitions. Held by the cognitions. Are totally held by the objects because of the cognitions of the objects. Therefore, what now? Attention of the mind being not placed on the Atma. Attention of the mind being placed on the external objects because of the countless number of cognitions of this object's exercise and resolve in the mind, Atma is as though hidden, as though covered by the cognitions of external material sense objects. Okay. Prakrita Vishya Vigna Vishya Vikara Vignanehi Prachannaha. Simply Anupravishtaha means as though entered means what? As though iti, Atma is as though enclosed. Atma is as though covered. What can cover Atma? Atma is Brahma, Nirvanam Brahma. How can this non-coverable Atma be covered? Absolutely, it is non-coverable, but relatively, it is as though covered because attention of the mind is not placed on the Atma. First of all, Atma is not known. Atma being not known, attention cannot be placed on the Atma. Attention of the mind being not placed on the Atma, attention of the mind is naturally effortlessly placed on all the objects. Therefore, because there's a constant, there are many cognitions of pertinent to the objects keep on rising. Therefore, it is said, Prakrita Vishya Vigna Vishya Vikara Vignanehi Prachannam Prachannaha Atma. Ityetat. We understand the meaning afterwards. Next, Guhahitam. Guhahitam. Guhayam Ahitaha Atma. Therefore, this objective case form is what? Guhahitam. Guhayam Ahitaha. Tam Guhahitam. Guha Ahitaha. Saptami Tatpurusha Samasa. Now, Ahitaha, placed. Now, Guhayam. Guhayam means what? What is Guha here? Buddhau. In the intellect, in the mind. Sthitam. Ahitam means sthitam. That which obtains in the cave of intellect. It is not really placed. Nobody goes and places Atma in the mind. Okay. The word literally Ahitaha means located, placed. But here, it is as though placed. It is as though placed, which means what? Sthitam. Atma being all pervasive. Atma pervades every individual body, mind, sense complex also. Therefore, Atma being available for recognition in the mind, Atma is said to be obtaining in the mind. Buddhau sthitam guhayam nihitam guhayam buddhau ahitam sthitam. Guhayam sthitaha atma guhayam sthitam atmanam. Atma which obtains in the cave of intellect. Okay. So here, tatra, why it is Atma is said to be remaining, obtaining, place, Atma being placed, etc. Why it is said? Because the reason is given. Hetvarthe panchami, you must know, make a note. Why Atma is said to be obtaining in the intellect. Atma is all pervasive. It must be available everywhere. Why Atma is said to be obtaining in the mind, remaining in the mind? Atma is said to be placed in the mind. Why? What is the reason? Tatra upalabhyamanatvat. Kimartham Atma guhayam guhayam ahitaha guhayam sitaha iti uchyate. The reason is given. The reason is given. Tatra upalabhyamanatvat. Tatra there, Atma buddhau upalabhyate. Atma buddhau upalabhyate. Atma is available. Upalabhyate means available. Atma is available for recognition only in the intellect, which is like a cave. We are going to see later on cave, okay? Therefore, upalabhyamanaha asti. Atma sada buddhau upalabhyamanaha asti. Atma is always is available in the cave of mind, cave of intellect. Upalabhyamanatvam atmanaha asti. Atma has the status of being available in the mind. Due to that, because of that, upalabhyamanatvat. As Atma, as the availability of the Atma for recognition is in the mind, as the availability of the Atma for recognition is in the mind, as Atma is available for recognition in the mind, Atma is said to have been placed there, as though placed there, Atma is said to be remaining there. Guhayam guhahitam guhayam buddhau sthitam tatra upalabhyamanatvat. Lone thing, Atma is placed only in the mind. Atma is located only in the mind. Atma is all pervasive. But still Atma is said to be remaining in the mind because Atma is available for recognition only in the mind. Tatra upalabhyamanatvat. Due to its having the status of being available there in the mind, in the intellect. Okay. Next, gahvareshtam. Gahvare staha. Gahvareshtaha. Okay. Gahvare tishtati iti gahvare staha, then gahvareshtaha. Like ghastaha. Grihestaha. Rastaha, like that. Gahvarastaha, but gahvareshtaha. Okay. Gahvare. Gahvareshtam means what? Atma is gahvareshtaha. Tam atmanam. Objective case of the word gahvareshtaha. Gahvare. Gahvare means what? Literal meaning is what? Jungle. Thick woods. It is gahvaram. But here, Vishame Gahvaraha, that what is a thick jungle? Atma, here, what a thick, why it's said to be a thick jungle of what? Vishame, Vishame, Aneka Anartha Sankate Tishtati. Aneka Anartha Sankate Tishtati. Atma remains amidst anek anartha sankatam. Anartha sankatam means meaningless, painful, meaningless pains. Meaningless means what? Anartha means meaningless. But here, artha means happiness. Anartha means unhappiness also. The word anartha literally means meaningless. But here anartha means you take moksha, happiness as the artha. Unhappiness is what? Anartha. Anartha sankate. Vishame. In unhappy, miserable situations. External. But here the main miseries, pains. Gahvare Vishame Tishtati. Vishame means what? Aneka Anartha Sankate. Okay. Countless miseries. Aneka Anartha Sankate Tishtati. Sankatam also means pain. Anartha Sankatam also, difficulty. difficult pains, miseries. Aneka anartha sankate tishtati. Like not one or two, like no, so many. That's why gahware stitam. Here, Atma remains amidst countless number of thoughts. Countless number of thoughts. Countless number of emotions. All of them are what? Can be reduced to one word, misery, pain. Aneka anartha sankate tishtati iti gahvareshtam. Atma obtains, remains amidst the jungle of countless number of thoughts and miseries. Miseries, number of thoughts. Okay. Tishtati iti gahvareshtam. Okay. Yataha, because, yataha is indeclinable word, because, evam, gudham, anupravishtaha. Okay, first word, evam, gudham. In this manner, the Atma is, which was hidden. Okay, anupravishtaha. Guha hitaha cha. In this manner, Atma being hidden, Atma is covered by countless number of cognitions pertaining to the objects, grabbing which grab the attention of the mind. Therefore, guha hitaha cha. Therefore, he is also hidden in the cave of mind. Ataha, therefore, he said to be what? Gahvareshtaha. See, Atma is Godaha, Atma is Anupravishtaha, Atma is Guhahitaha. Atma is hidden, covered, as though, now so what? Located in the cave of intellect. Therefore, Atma is said to be what? Gahvareshtaha. So what? Ataha durdarshaha. That is the reason we say Atma cannot be comprehended easily. Ataha, therefore, Atma is that which cannot be comprehended easily. Now, the word durdarshaha, why comprehension of the Atma is difficult? For which Shankara Bhagavatpada explains using the words of the Shastram. Let me tell you here, using all these words presented by the Upanishad, Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear that comprehension of the Atma is not easy, it is very difficult. For which, what does he say? He presents three reasons. How does he say first? See, even though Atma is self-effulgent, self-evident, still, Atma cannot be comprehended because Atma is available for recognition only in the mind, where at the bottom of the mind, at the dead end of the mind, as the very truth of I. One thing. Therefore, what now? Completely, our search is always through the sense organs. And then therefore, our attention is held only by external objects. We never think of discovering the truth as the meaning of the word I. We always, naturally, we are inclined to what? Search for the truth also, like how we search for any other object through the sense organs. Available means of knowledge. Mind is always extroverted. That is always behind the sense organs, wanting to know the things, what is there in the external world. Therefore, whereas Atma is available as the truth of the mind. Therefore, it is difficult. So, That is why it is difficult. Atma is hiding behind the one who is searching for the Atma as the truth of the knower. Atma obtains as the truth of the knower and the knower is interested in what? The external objects only. Therefore, it is difficult. Then attention of the mind is not available for the Atma. The attention of the mind is completely taken away by the constantly perceived objects, the cognitions of perceived objects through sense organs. Okay. And another thing, a second reason is the Atma being not an object. Atma being available for recognition is very sorup of the subject. Also, it is difficult to comprehend Atma because mind is the knower. The knower of the external world of objects is the mind. Here, mind is the internal instrument of knowledge. So, antahkaranam. And making use of this mind alone, we can know anything and everything in the world. Without the function of mentation, without the mind being functional, without making use of the mind, it is impossible to have the knowledge of anything in the world. Mind is the internal instrument of knowledge, antahkaranam. But unfortunately, Atma is not an object of thought, object of mind. Atma is the very truth because of the presence of which mind functions. Therefore, mind is capable of knowing anything and everything external to the sense organs. Mind is incapable of knowing the truth because of which it exists. Therefore also, Atma is very subtle. Atma cannot be comprehended. The second reason, we understand from the commentary. But thirdly, and of course, because of the interaction with the world through sense organs, naturally, helplessly, every individual has to go through many pairs of experience, pairs of opposites. And the experience of pairs of opposites is, see, we understand Bhagavad Gita study, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Shitoshtu Sukha Dukkadaha. When the mind comes in contact with the external worlds through sense organs, helplessly one has to go through choicelessly the experience of pairs of opposites. And when a person goes through pairs of opposites, naturally he goes through pain. And then somehow, not one or two, constantly there will be experience of pain also. And now, mind completely, a person gets entangled, afflicted by these experience of pairs of opposites. Then being entangled and afflicted by this experience of pairs of opposites alone is said to be what? Miseries. Therefore, because of that also, attention being totally held by the experience of pairs of opposites, attention of the mind is not available for recognizing and dwelling upon the Atma. Therefore what is it? It is very difficult to comprehend the Atma. Okay. These are the different reasons given by Shankaracharya. How do you understand all these words when he explained? Kimartham Atma Durdarshaha. Atma, we have to understand Atma Durdarshaha Ati Sukshmatvat. Atma Durdarshaha Guhayam Ahitatvat. गुहायम उपलभ्यमानत्वात् आत्मा आत्मा इज दुर्दर्श बिकॉज अनेक अनर्थ संकटे गह्वरे स्थितत्वात् बिकॉज इट रिमेन्स अमिडस्ट द थिक जंगल ऑफ काउंटलेस नंबर ऑफ pairs of experience of pairs of opposites and which are in turn which are also what now the miseries which are also miseries. Okay, next yataha see anartha sankatani anartha sankatam here implies see knowledge of anything and everything other than the atma is what contributes for the pain only ultimately. That is the reason it said, that is why it is said to be Atma remains amidst countless number of pairs of experience of pairs of opposites, which turn to be miseries. Okay. Yataha evam gudham anupravishta gudham anupravishtaha गुहाहितः च अतः गह्वरेष्ठः अतः दुर्दर्शः ओके मेनी रीजन्स् आर् गिवन् तं पुराणं पुराणं मीन्स् वाट् पुरातनं पुरातनं मीन्स् एन्शियन्ट् लिटरली पुरातनं पुरातनं इम्प्लेस् वाट् Atma, which is timeless, beginningless. There's nothing which is more ancient than the Atma. Atma is the most ancient because it is beginningless. At the same time, it is endless also, though it is Puratanam. Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamena. Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamena means what? Shankaracharya writes, विषयेभ्यः प्रतिसंहृत्य चेतसः चेतसा इट् मस्ट् बी विषयेभ्यः प्रतिसंहृत्य चेतसः आत्मनि समाधानम् ओके विषयेभ्यः फ्रम् ऑल दिस एक्सटर्नल ऑब्जेक्ट्स Attention is tightly held by the external world of objects. So, pratisamhritya, where two adjectives, two prefixes are used. Hritva, having taken. Samhritya means having killed. Pratisamhritya means having forcefully taken one's removed one's attention from the external world of objects, external objects, sense objects, having forcefully, thoughtfully, not simply mechanically, having thoughtfully, forcefully shifted one's attention, moved one's attention from the external objects. Chetasa, Atmani Samadhanam, placing one's attention in the Atma, Samadhanam, Samyak Adhanam, Samadhanam means what? Placing one's attention in the Atma, having taken the attention of the Atma mind from other objects. So, Chetasaha Vishayebhyaha Pratisamhritya Atmani Samadhanam. All that we need is what? Attention of the mind must be taken from everything else in the world. It must be placed in the Atma. In order to place the attention of the mind in the Atma, to shift it from anywhere else, what do we need? We need to be given to the pursuit of knowledge. One pursuit of knowledge means what? One must be given to the pursuit of knowledge means one must be given to the Jnana Yoga, one must involve oneself in the Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam. One start the Shravanam, move on to Mananam, one must move on to the Nidhyasanam. Just how can one place one's attention in the Atma? There's no way of placing attention in the Atma unless and until you discover you know what Atma is. Therefore, to know the Atma, discover the Atma, one has to study, one has to do this Shastra study, one must do this Shravanam. Therefore, Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamena, Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamena means when you place attention of the mind in the Shastra study itself, you started placing your attention in the Atma. That's the beginning of the placing. That is how you can withdraw the attention from other objects also. So, having totally withdrawn the attention of the mind from all the objects, placing one's mind in the Atma is what? Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamaha. Adhyatma Yoga Tasya Adhigamaha. So understanding of the Adhigamaha, going to the pursuit of knowledge, being given to the pursuit of knowledge. How can a person resort to the knowledge, resort to Adhyatma Adhigamaha, Adhyatma Yogaha? How can a person resort to Adhyatma Yogaha? So being resort to, being given to, resorting to the pursuit of knowledge means taking one's attention from all the everything else, withdrawing attention from everything else and placing one's attention in the Atma by way of involving oneself in Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam. Okay. Thereby, so being given to the pursuit of knowledge, being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga, going through these three steps, Matva, having understood. Once you're given to study of the Shastram, having withdrawn attention from everything else, you can't help understanding the Swarupam. So Matva, having understood, arrived at Devam. Who is Devaha? The effulgent reality, Atma. The self, there's no effulgent. Effulgent, self-effulgent, the self. Dhiraha, having arrived at that self-effulgent self. Dhiraha, the wise person. Harsha Shokam. Harsha Shokau. Atmanaha. Utkarsha apakarshayoho abhavat. Jahati. Harsha shokau jahati. Diraha harsha shokau jahati means what? The person gives up pain and pleasure. Pleasure and pain because atmanaha utkarsha apakarshayoho abhavat. See, in the wake of knowledge of self being, one's own self being Atma, when he shifts his identity from Anatma to Atma, from the standpoint of the Atma, the person discovers the pure consciousness implied by the term Atma is free from Utkarsha. Utkarsha, Apakarsha, Apakarsha. Utkarsha, Apakarsha. Utkarsha, elation. Apakarsha, depression. Utkarshaha, elation, joy. Apakarshaha, dejection, depression, pain. Atma is free from. The reason is, how does this person become free from pains and pleasures? does not mean a jnani does not go through pains and pleasures. See, mind is the seat of emotion. All the emotions will be there. Even for a jnani, there will be pleasant, unpleasant, no, desirable, undesirable situations. So jnani also will have to go through pairs of opposites like any other ajnani. Only difference is ajnani becomes afflicted by the pairs of opposites he goes through. Ajnani dhiraha does not become afflicted by the pairs of opposites. See, not being afflicted by the pairs of opposites is, okay, giving up the pairs of opposites, freeing oneself from the afflictions caused by the pairs of opposites. See, jnani cannot escape the experience of pairs of opposites. Prarabdha karma palam determines pairs of the experience of pairs of opposites in a given period of time. How can jnani escape? Jnani also cannot escape the experience of pairs of opposites. They are ordained by the prarabdha karma palam. But a jnani does not become afflicted by the experience of pairs of opposites. But ajnani becomes afflicted. Ajnani, because of his wrong identity, because of the ignorance, he internalizes those pairs of opposites. He becomes very subjective towards them. Being objective means what? He takes the mental problems as his own problems. Whereas this jnani, his identity is with the Atma, the consciousness. Therefore, he has shifted the identity from the anatma, body, mind, sense complex. He is objective towards his mind. Jnani is objective towards his mind. Objective towards the experience of pairs of opposites. He does not internalize them. He is not subjective. Therefore, what happens? Even though he goes through the pairs of opposites, he protects himself. He does not become afflicted by them. He sees the self being free from such pairs of opposites. Therefore, Atmanaha Utkarsha Apakarsha Yoho Abhavat, due to the absence of elation, dejection for the Atma, Atma has no Utkarsha. Atma has no apakarshaha. Atma has no elation. Atma has no dejection. Atma has no pleasure. Atma has no pain. Atma is of the nature of fullness of happiness. Atma does not have pain and pleasure. Atma is free from all the pairs of opposites. Therefore, due to the absence of these pairs of opposites, Achas, Utkarshaha, Apakarshaha, etc. for the Atma. And for Jnani takes the Atma as oneself. He is objective towards the Anatma, the body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, he gives up pleasure and pain. Means he frees himself from the experience of pairs of opposites. How? Claiming Atma as the self, disclaiming Anatma as non-self, becoming objective towards them, not internalizing them, Atma protects himself. Atma does not need to protect itself. The Jnani, Atma does not protect. The Jnani protects himself means Jnani does not become afflicted by the experience of pairs of opposites. That is what Shankaracharya says. Atmanaha utkarsha apakarshayoho abhavat. Atma has no pain and pleasure. So I am the Atma. I the Atma have no pain and pleasure. Means what? Then there's no need for one to become afflicted. So, the fundamental problem is very, very, very clear. See, I have pain. I have pleasure. this problem, okay, this experience of pairs of opposites being centered on I is the problem. See, going through experience of pairs of opposites is not the problem, but thinking, entertaining the notion that I have pain is the problem. Please understand, Shankaracharya makes it very, very clear. One cannot escape the experience of pairs of opposites. Everyone has to go through the experience of pairs of opposites. Everyone has to go through the experience of pain, pleasure and pain, which will come constantly. Because when you're living in this world, you are interacting with the world. The sense organs do come in contact with the external world of objects. When the interaction with the external world happens, there will be experience of pairs of opposites for all the people. So jnani is not an exception. And what is freedom then? Jnani does not have identity with the body, minds and complex. Jnani does not identify, Jnani's identity is not with Anatma mind. So all these pairs of opposites, the experiences are what? The emotion associated with the mind only. Atma is ever free. When he claims the Atma as the self, the pure, abstract, formless reality, consciousness as the self, Atma as the self, he says Atma is free from all the pairs of opposites. Atma is free from pain and pleasure. Therefore, due to the absence of elation and dejection, etc., on the part of the Atma, Jnani claiming Atma as the self, disclaiming okay, Anatma, Jnani is objective towards them. He does not superimpose the mind's problems as his problems. Jnani is free from the superimposition of the emotional problems, experience of the mind as okay, one's problems, one's own problems. Therefore, what? He gives up pleasure and pain. Jahati, harsha shoko jahati, kimartam atmanaha harsha shoka yoho abhavat. Atmanaha dvandvanam abhavat. Atma has no dvandvas. Atma has no pain and pleasure. Atma has no utkarsha apakarsha. Atma has no elation and dejection. Therefore, Jnani, taking that Atma as the self, and discovered the Atma, having taken ownership of Atma as the self, Jnani is free from pairs of opposites. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.